We're back to Neil Haley's show on the Total Celebrity segment. I can't believe I just said that, but I know this man is becoming a celebrity in his own right. Caregiver Dave. Dave, thanks for calling. How are you? And it's a celebrity because of just who you've been with since the last time I had you on the program and all the exciting things you're doing on a regular basis. Dave, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, always fantastic. Doing always super. And I wanted to kind of find out what's going on with Dave. What is new with Dave? Especially, I have you on my radio program co-hosting with me, but I never, ever get
to hear. I know,
you
never talk about
enough.
Me. And it seems like forever that I was interviewed on your show, and I think it was forever. But so much has happened. I mean, I just I'm amazed. You know, there's a word called momentum, and what is it when you reach that critical mass where you got this train going down
exactly.
the tracks and nothing can stop it. But you know that train when it was stopped, it's like nothing could move it. You know, I have a gas station, and I'm at the bottom of this hill, and everybody misses that sign at the top of the hill that says, get gas at the top, there's 27 miles and nothing down below. And nobody sees that, and they run out of gas, and they coast in on fumes. And at least once a day, we got to get a push crew to push this car, you know, across the street, into our driveway, approach the lanes, and it's hard.
Exactly.
You know, you need about four people, just put your back into it. And we get that car rolling, and it gets a little faster. And then the driveway starts sloping down, and now we have some momentum. Now we can't stop it. No, put on the brake. And that's how it is. 18 months ago, I was just a normal guy, you know, just running my gas station.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
all of a sudden,
we told you, yeah. And
I meet this guy who changes my life,
yeah.
and he got me on Harvard, got me on 24 morning shows. Actually, he taught me how to get myself to book myself on
yeah.
these shows. And then I did Harvard again. I did NASDAQ. We got our picture on the Jumbotron in Times Square. I'm speaking at Coca-Cola, Mercedes-Benz, going to talk to our nation's future leaders at the West Point Military Academy. I just got invited to do a TEDx talk this month in Wilmington, Delaware, at a women's conference. And I just got a phone call 2 days ago. You don't even know about this one, where they want to I spoke in Hawaii. I go to Hawaii twice a year for vacation, 4 weeks each,
right, exactly.
just because we love it. And, you know, we're spending our children's inheritance because they don't call anyway. And tomorrow is not promised, Neil. My wife is 74 years old. She's in a wheelchair. She's disabled.
Right.
She lost her speech from a stroke. But she's amazing. She puts us all to shame because she can do things that I can't do. And so at 52, she had her stroke. And I'm 64. And I'm saying, you know what, we can still travel. I'm not going to be that guy who says, gosh, I wish we would have traveled more when we were younger, you know. And so I got a call from Hawaii last August. I was on a panel. I spoke at 7 venues over there. And they called me back and they says, you know, we want you to be the headliner this time on the next one. We want you to be the keynote speaker. I says, great, I can do it. I never say no to opportunity. We'll work out the details later. So I'm just excited.
No, I mean, and I think what you really learned is, and again, you definitely owe a lot to Clint for what you've done, but ultimately not everyone that goes through Clint's program has the success you have.
You got to do the work, okay? So I'm just stupid enough to know that if I'm going to, you know, invest in myself, then you got to do the work. How many of us have gone to a seminar and we come back with everything that this guy supposedly knows? We got the binders, we got the books, we got the CDs, and then we put it up on our shelf, and it's been there for 5 years now. We didn't do anything because we were overwhelmed. But this guy doesn't let you be overwhelmed. He forces
exactly.
you to do it. It's
he
the work.
He forces you to do it. But see,
he
but
forces
again,
you.
The same, but also talent. You cannot say that it wasn't your talent as well and your niche opportunity, because there are many people out there that go through programs even like Clint and don't have the success that you have. And I know for a fact that's the case. So don't put – it's great that he gave you the roadmap.
Well, I wanted it.
Take that road.
I wanted it. And you got to ask yourself, how bad do you want it? You know, do you want it so bad
exactly.
that you can taste it? And you know, I've wasted so much money over the years going to seminars and going to this, going to name it, I've done it. But after a while, you just get tired of spending your money on stuff. You become very skeptical about all the promises people make. You know, you find out that people are just lying. You know,
exactly.
They call it exaggeration
or
stretching
exactly.
the truth. Let's
yeah.
call it what it is. They're lying. And finally, I meet a guy who doesn't lie. In fact, he guarantees, if you can't get booked on 3 television programs after you come to my boot camp, I will give all of your money back and $1,000 on top of it. So I said, well, what do I got to lose? And the guy changed my life. I changed my life. God changed my life. Let's give
exactly.
credit where credit is due.
Exactly. Let's give credit to God. Let's
yeah.
give credit to specifically enough this holiday season and how lucky we are to be on this earth and to try to make a difference and change people's lives. But what I think that what you have done in this process is that you've said, I have the ability. I now go after it, and I learned what other people do that is not the way you should do things. And so you
yep.
learned all that, and that's fantastic. So
and timing. Timing is very, very important.
Oh,
because
my goodness.
If this happened before
yeah.
it happened, it wouldn't have happened because, number one, my back was shot. I needed back surgery. I couldn't stand for more than 5 minutes. There was no way I could be on a book tour or chasing, you know, buses and subways and airplane terminals. I could not do that. So, number one, God healed my back. Thank God. Didn't need surgery. Number two, you need your wife's support. If she's not behind you and egging you on and being your cheerleader, then forget it. You know, you'll be sabotaged. Number three, I have a gas station, okay? I got employees. It's a 24-hour business. When someone doesn't come in, guess who's got the burden of working? But now I've got a good crew. I've got partners, and they're great partners, and we help each other out. So I've got help at the station. And the third thing is, you know, thank God I've got the money to spend on myself, right? And other people have money. You hear about these people who die, you know, 80 years old, and they were living like paupers. They're living in a little one-bedroom apartment or whatever it is, and their kids are doing their thing, and they realize that these people were millionaires. And what were they saving the money for? Well, they were saving it for a rainy day. Well, you know what? Start spending that money, because when you get older and you die, you go to heaven, you're not going to say, you know, gee, I wish I would have paid some more bills, or gee, I wish I would have, you know, worked more. No, you would have said, I wish I would have traveled more. I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have spent the money that I had so I didn't leave these millions to my kids, and it ended up screwing them up because they didn't work for it. They don't know the value of a dollar. That's my opinion.
To really know you are the man, but what would you say are your greatest experiences? You talk about speaking.
What's the question? My greatest experience what?
The experience speaking.
Well, Harvard, I think I was very fortunate to be able to speak there first, because once you do that, the most prestigious place on earth that you could probably speak, there ain't too much that's going to upset you afterwards. And, you know, you start at the top, and we also went through a speaker training that he had in Hawaii, and we went down into this boat, and they stuck us in a cage. And we were told to speak to the sharks. The cage went down underwater, and they started throwing raw meat over the side of the boat. And I tell you, there were hundreds of sharks, like 5 inches from my face. And the cage, you know, they're about 6 inches, 7 inches apart. So it's like if they just turn their head sideways, you know, they'd get their teeth in there. But he wanted us to practice our speeches, so I did, you know. And I said, but water will get in my mouth. He said, no, it won't. You got a snorkel in your mouth. So I tell you, when you speak at Harvard, when you speak to the sharks, there isn't anything that freaks you out. And the night before I spoke at Harvard, I was getting freaked out. I was saying, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? I can't, I was forgetting my lines. I was over-rehearsing, and then I just remembered that God brought me there. Trust in God. Trust in the process. Trust in Clint. I did my homework. I did my rehearsing. I went to bed with a peaceful spirit. I slept like a baby, woke up in the morning, gave my speech, knocked it out of the park. And so whenever I get nervous, I just remind myself What are you nervous about? You spoke at Harvard. You spoke to the Sharks. And so I would say that would be the best. Sharing the stage with Suzanne Somers. Oh, my gosh. The woman is amazing. And we were able to field questions from the audience. Do you have a question for Suzanne Somers, you know, and so on. So I just feel like I've done it all, and it's all happened in 16 months.
Ice training, I can't believe it. Ice fishing. Did you know how bad of an ice storm we had last night? Let me tell you the story, Dave, and I don't know if I'll put this on this or not. We're going to have our own comedy hour tonight. Basically, the phones must be going batty. And I've never, ever seen the towers. Can the towers, you've been around, do you know if cell phone towers can mess up like this?
Right.
That's for my other time in that area. But you know I'll edit it and make it perfect for you, Dave, as I always do. We've had some interesting interviews ourselves, haven't we? Are we doing the caregiver, Dave, Neil, Haley? Some of these celebrities you've interviewed, they've been interesting, right? You never know what they're going to say.
Absolutely.
I
meet some great people since I met you now. So, you know, they say surround yourself with the five people that you want to be like. And so that means you're going to have to get rid of some friends because you will become those people. So are you surrounding yourself with losers, with people that you went to high school with who are still doing drugs, who are still, you know, working at Walmart? Nothing against Walmart. But you want to surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, richer than you, brighter than you, more intelligent than you. And guess what? It rubs off. And I'm so grateful to have met you, Neil. And I'm thankful for all the great guests. I mean, I met the Brady. Who's the oldest Brady son?
You remember him messing up that name? Oh, my gosh.
Escaped my head. Hal, right?
It happens all the time. Brady.
It's amazing that I speak at Harvard with my memory. It's amazing. It's a miracle that I can pull this off.
When I look at the different interviews and the different experiences of
Greg
people we've
Brady, that's who it is. Okay.
Greg Brady, exactly. But you think of just different people from NFL players to other celebrities, the Bonaducci girl.
Melissa Radke, 150 million views on YouTube. A publisher sees her, you need to write a book. Okay. All of a sudden, she gets an offer for a reality show. She's taping her 9th reality episode right now. Oh, my gosh. You know, you talk about overnight success, but, you know, we've been struggling for 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah, it's a 20-year overnight success.
The country music stars as well, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Hee-haw.
Yeah. Yeah, and then
I don't know how you get these people, Neil,
right,
but you've got the magic touch. They call you, right?
They call me. Exactly.
It's amazing.
That's one of the cool.
Along for the ride.
Exactly, Dave. We're working on Nancy Grace right now, probably after Thanksgiving with her, and then other country music stars are coming out of the woodwork. But you got to interview some unbelievable ones you wouldn't have thought of as in the country music game too that you grew up listening to.
We're making some nice networks here. I'm friends with a doctor who works at the White House who does electronic stimulation of the brain. It's like an acupuncture, and he's looking for football players who have suffered traumatic brain injury. Well, you've got all the football players. I've got the
board in your career. It's a great question asked. You spoke all these places. You've had all these great experiences. What is next? Because let's just talk about delving into caregiving. This is something that just really is just such a horrific thing when somebody loses someone through dementia or they're not able to handle specific things. This is your mission. Where are you going next? You built the brand. Now everyone respects you, understands you, knows you. Now you have to help these people. That's the A number.
Celebrityism comes with a mission, with a purpose. You know, I was born for this, apparently. 22 years ago, I was just a normal guy. My wife complains about a headache she had. Well, the headache turned into a stroke. She lost her speech, became paralyzed on the right side. For a couple of years, man, it was hell on earth, because that's called the grief process. And anger was her favorite emotion, and I was getting all of it. And I almost left. That's how bad it was, because I couldn't take it. But I hung in there. You know, I had my faith in God. Either something like that either makes you bitter or better. You know, it's easy to ask somebody how strong their faith in God is when they got money in the bank, when their beautiful wife is loving them, when, you know, their CPA is saying, wow, you had a great year. But talk to me when the CPA tells you that bankruptcy is the only way out, that your wife serves you divorce papers, that the doctor tells you you got 3 weeks to live, and so on. Now you'll see what you're made of. That's the kind of faith that's there. So I realized that my faith was real because it brought me through it. 22 years later, you know, it's just the new normal. We're getting along great. We're in love with each other like we've never been. We travel all over the country. I speak everywhere.
Tremendous.
Telling caregivers how to prevent your loved one's illness or disease from killing you. Now I'm speaking at TED Talks this month. And TED Talks is a little different. I can't promote myself. I can't tell them I have a book. I can't tell them I've spoken at Harvard.
Yeah.
I can't say anything about myself, which is hard because that's half my speech.
so
we cut all that out, and I'm learning a lot. I'm really out of my comfort zone, and I'm so grateful that my wife is along for the ride and that we're doing what we're doing, and we're helping people. So the talk, this one is called Caregivers Need to Be Selfish in Order to Survive. And it's an idea worth spreading. And because selfish is usually a very negative word, right? Nobody wants to be selfish. Selfish means you're self-absorbed and all you care about is yourself. But you know what? Caregivers are so opposite of the word selfish that they're dying. You know, they give and give and give and there's nothing left to give and they don't eat right, they don't sleep right, they don't exercise, they've isolated themselves, they got no friends. And 30% of them actually die before their loved ones do, and those are the lucky ones. 60% of them actually get sicker, become hospitalized, and need a caregiver of their own. And roughly half of all these caregivers are feeling suicidal depression and hopelessness, you know, just like Robin Williams, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, you know,
right.
They all died of the same
yeah.
thing, suicidal depression. So we have to ask, if there's depression, is suicide far behind? And that's my mission, to save caregiver lives. And so I have a website. I'm Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver. And the short domain is caregiverdave.com. And you go there. I turned it into a membership website because you probably realize this too. When people don't pay, they don't value the advice you give. I would coach for years and years, and I didn't charge a nickel. And sometimes, many times, they don't even show up for the call. It's like they're not valuing the wisdom that I'm giving them. And, you know, let's think about it. If you have a doctor appointment at, like, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you get to bed late, and the alarm goes off at 7, and you just say, oh, I can't go, I'm too tired. But you know what? If that doctor's charging you $100, whether you show up or not, you're going to be there. So I'm not doing anybody a favor by not charging them for coaching. I have coaching programs to help caregivers stay alive, to help them stay out of the hospital. I have a membership website, and I'm not trying to rip people off. I don't even need the money, but I'm not doing caregivers a favor. If I cannot get a caregiver to
exactly.
pay $97 to invest in themselves, to become healthy and to stay alive, becoming a lifetime member of my membership website, caregiverdave.com, then I can't help them because they need to have some value of themselves, that their life is at least as valuable as the ones they're caring for, that they're not on the bottom rung. They need to be on the top rung. Put your oxygen mask on first. Otherwise, you're both going
exactly.
down, buddy.
Now, thinking, see, these are great points that you're making, but let's talk about preparing for TEDx. Now, what are you going to do? You only give us a snippet because once it's live and it's out there, we'll be talking about it in another interview, but tell us specifically what your topic is for TEDx.
TEDx, like I said, it's caregivers need to be selfish in order to survive. So I will go and I'll basically share those statistics about the 30% dying, the 60% getting sicker, and the 50%, you know, having suicidal depression. It doesn't look pretty for them. So I basically, the talk goes on, and I keep mentioning over and over again, caregivers need to be selfish in order
yes.
to survive. I say that 5 times throughout this 10-minute talk. And that is supposed to get through to them. Okay, well, selfish isn't really a dirty word now if you're a caregiver, because if it
yes.
is, if you think that, oh, no, I can't be selfish. I was going to name my book. You know, I have a book that's called It's My Life to Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. I was going to call it the Selfish Caregiver. And my publisher, everybody said, no, 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 you can't do that. That's a negative thing. Nobody will buy that book. Nobody wants to be selfish. So I listened to them. But now it's coming back. When I told the people at TEDx about the selfish thing, they loved it. And I said, wow, that's a change.
So, you know, it's interesting when you talk about that. And are there anyone else that's ever done a TEDx talk about caregiving? That's the question that you need to research on. Has anyone ever done a TEDx talk about it?
I really don't know. I don't know. That's a good thing to look up. But a lot of people don't talk about caregiving. I mean, we talk about dementia. We talk about Alzheimer's. We talk about cancer. All these famous and sexy diseases that, you know, there's organizations for. There's the Alzheimer's Association. There's the Cancer Society. You know, there's the Heart Association. All these things that get lots of money. People donate lots of money because they want to find out what's causing dementia, what's causing, you know, stroke and so on. But nobody is saying anything about caregivers. Do you know that there are 65.7 million caregivers in the U.S., and those are just the ones that we know about? There's so many caregivers out there who don't even know they're caregivers, because think about it. Okay, you got a neighbor, he's elderly, you see him every day, you know, walking out, struggling to bend over to pick up the newspaper. So you say, well, I'm going to be a nice guy. I'm going to go over there, take his paper in for him. Oh, thanks. Hey, while you're in here, you know, I'm trying to reach this shelf on the top, bowl on the top shelf. So you say, oh, yeah, I'll get that. Next thing you know, you're making the guy breakfast. Next thing you know, you're taking him to his doctor appointments. Next thing you know, you're his caregiver, and you say, oh, my God, how did I get sucked into this? You know, there are children from 8 years old to 18 years old, children caring for adult loved ones, grandparents,
parents.
Labor laws don't apply to them. They're not getting their 30-minute lunch break. They're not getting their 20-minute breaks every 4 hours. It's really bad. It's really bad, and no one is talking about it. I call it the caregiver tsunami, because just like Medicare and Social Security, right, more people are taking out of the system now than putting in. It wasn't like during the war when it was the opposite. Well, guess what? All the baby boomers are getting dementia, Alzheimer's, COPD,
exactly.
Falling down, breaking their hips. Everyone's got parents and grandparents who are needing a caregiver, and there aren't enough of them, because the baby boomers are one of the biggest people groups. The next largest people group are the millennials, I understand, because during the 80s, you know, everybody was successful and starting businesses and having babies. And right now, that's called the sandwich generation. When those millennials have to take care of their children and they have to take care of their parents, and in my case, I have like a club sandwich, because that's add your spouse to that, and you got a triple-decker club sandwich, you know? And it's no one's talking about it, and it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. We need to do something. It needs to be part of the health care plan that the president or the Congress or whoever is going to come up with one. There needs to be caregiver respite. Now, I came from Hawaii. They have the only law in the nation that gives caregivers money, $1,500 a month if you qualify. And how do you qualify? Well, not like down here where you got to be broke and you got to have no job and you got to be destitute. No, you can have a 40-hour-a-week job and you'll still get the money, because they know that it takes money if you are a caregiver in addition to your job. So I think that's a model for the nation, and I tell everybody about it wherever I go.
All right, well, fabulous. Again, caregiverdave.com. You got your radio show. They can check out at caregiverdave.com. They can become
got
a
the membership
member
website
and everything. And next week,
coaching
we continue
program
to rock into Thanksgiving.
One stop shopping. It's all there.
Everyone's going to be out. Be ready. Thanksgiving week, every time. Everyone wants to do an interview right before Thanksgiving. So good.
And
talk.
If anybody wants to know how I'm getting on TV, how I'm getting on Harvard, how am I getting on NASDAQ, Coca-Cola, West Point, email me. I'm at dave@nasani.tv. That's N like Nancy, A-S-S like Sam, A-N like Nancy, E-Y. dave@nasani.tv. And if you want to find me on the internet, just Google Caregiver Dave, and I'll be there. Like Michael Jackson, I'll be there.
That's fantastic, Dave. Good talking to you, brother, and we'll talk soon, man.
Thanks, Neil.
All right. Okay, bye-bye. You're listening to the Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.